Hey everyone, Will Cooper here, host of Hunt Stand's Make Your Mark podcast. Join us as we dive deep into the world of hunting and outdoor pursuits. We've brought together some of the most accomplished individuals in the industry to share their invaluable insights and experiences with you. But here's the kicker. It's not just about hunting tips and tactics. We're exploring how you can carve your own path, elevate your skills, and gain some wisdom from the best in the field. So whether you're a seasoned hunter looking to fine-tune your skills or a newbie eager to learn, our podcast has something for everyone. Stay tuned for more exciting guests and hotter topics. Don't miss out and subscribe to Hunt Stand's Make Your Mark podcast today and start making your mark in the great outdoors.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Pretty big news shared on the channel this week. You probably have already heard it. It was our most popular video in a long time. It was 10:30 at night. The coldest. No, actually, it wasn't.
No, that
wasn't
the coldest.
Right, yeah, no.
But it was a cold.
A cold night in. How many?
April.
Yeah, April. Munchkin, our cooney sow that was getting ready to farrow. And sure enough, she was showing signs of farrowing. So I called you out to the barn.
Mm-hmm.
You got dressed up and you came out.
There you go.
It's backwards, right?
It's okay. I know. There we go. Grab those rags there. Got a big old straw tail.
Oh man, we were just driving through that thing the other day.
And the hustle bustle of birth?
Yeah, it was kind of at a slow spot between piglets being born, and we took a couple minutes to kind of update on the video and say what was going on.
Well.
And I updated you.
You sure did.
What are we at? Two boys? No, two girls, four boys. Is that right? Girls are definitely, it's a boy year for us. The biggest was a girl and the smallest was a girl.
These are always really special. Just special moments on the homestead. Birth's one of the most exciting parts.
I'm glad you like the birth still.
Yeah?
Yeah. Because I'm pregnant.
Are you really? Are you pregnant? Are you for real? Are you really pregnant, Kendra?
Yes.
Oh, are you kidding me? Oh, are you kidding me?
No.
Oh, man, it's a full moon. Are you really pregnant? Oh, man. Oh, man. All right. Wow. Are you kidding?
I can't see your face.
It's all right. Wow. Wow, you got me again.
We're expecting. I'm going to be having another baby. And in today's podcast, we are going to be talking about how pregnancy and even a little bit about how the newborn baby affects the homestead. At this point in our life, we've been homesteading for about a decade, and about half of that time has been spent either with Kay being pregnant or us having a newborn to care for. So we do have a little bit of experience in homesteading with pregnancy and a baby. We're going to share a little bit from our experience, some of the things we've learned over the years, how it affects us. We're going to talk about each trimester, what to expect when you're expecting on the homestead. give you a few tips as to what you should expect if maybe it's your first time having a baby and you're already homesteading and how it might affect things or change things. Share some funny stories, no doubt. While you're waiting for the show to start, there's a couple things you could do for me that I would really, really appreciate. The easiest one, if you're watching on YouTube, right below, there's a thumbs up button, hit it. If you're listening to the podcast version later, I'm sure there's a like button somewhere on your podcast player. Go ahead and hit that. Let everybody know that you like this show, and it will then be shared with more people. Speaking of sharing it with more people, that's another thing you could do. There's a share button in every podcast player. Down below on YouTube, there's a little arrow. If you click it and copy the share link, take a moment to paste that to your favorite social media page. Really, I say this every week, if you would do this, if you would just take a minute, copy right now while I'm saying it, just do it, and then paste it on any of your favorite social media outlets, that would be huge. That's the number one way our show grows. We really, really appreciate it. The final thing I would love for you to do, if you could, in the chat box, let us know if you are expecting. Anybody watching live today getting ready to have a baby? It would be awesome to know if somebody watching was right there alongside us waiting on a baby to come. It's a very, very exciting thing, and I know you are going to enjoy what we have in store for you today.
Holy guacamole. Oh man, oh man, oh man, oh man. I'm actually shaking. I haven't shaken from that in a long time. Oh wow, Kendra. Oh man, are you okay? Wow, how'd you know so long in the belly?
There it is.
We're pregnant.
At Midway USA, we know the AR-15 is one of the most popular rifles in modern American history. Known for its modularity and widespread use, it's often considered essential to any gun collection. The essential things you need to run an AR-15 are usually always in stock during shortages, things like magazines and 5.56 ammo. Whether you're looking to buy a new AR-15 or buy parts for your modern sporting rifle, log on and for just about everything for the outdoors, shop MidwayUSA.com. Hunting boots are a critical component of any successful hunt. Whether walking a short distance to your blind or trudging miles through rugged terrain, your feet are carrying the load. Without the right boots, you could give up early and lose out on that trophy just over the ridge. At Midway USA, we make selecting boots for your next hunt easier. With just a few clicks of a mouse, you can decide on what's important, like waterproofing, insulation, size, width, and savings. For just about everything for shooting, hunting, and the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
Oh man, it's weird.
Oh man. Oh man.
Welcome everybody. I was so excited to see in the chat box. There are at least three expecting already.
Look at that.
We have so many watching that are expecting baby number
Becca. Due in January.
Baby number two.
And moving. Lisa. And moving while expecting.
Oh,
that's fun.
We did that last time. We were expecting and moving. Never again, sorry.
He will survive.
I should learn to say never at this point. I keep putting my foot in my mouth. As is obvious, here we all are. Well, let us know. If you keep showing up, whoever shows up, let us know what you're expecting. It's super exciting.
Yeah, we saw so many comments to our video, like somebody was being induced that when they were
watching the video. How
that's
cool
super
is that?
Cool. Yeah, oh, she was, man. Like 41 weeks and 6 days being induced, so she made it a long time.
We gotta check to see if we got an update there, see if the baby's born.
Yeah, so. Well, I hope so by now.
Well, yes, of course. See what more about the baby, all that stuff. Of course, that's a real long labor.
4 days later.
Nope, that's when you send it back. That's when you say, I don't want this one.
This one's cantankerous.
This one's a dud. We're really excited to talk about mostly the topic of homesteading while pregnant. And, you know, also the newborn baby. But Kay did mention today, if you're watching and you're not,
and you feel like this doesn't apply to you at all, essentially, are there any huge events come in your life where you will be, you'll have to change your homestead in some way? So are you going for surgery? Are you caring for a sick relative? Anything like that where you really need to make some modifications, simplifications on your homestead.
Even imagine, for a certain amount of time. Major work change, right? Imagine you're going to be, you know, promoted and you need a lot more, you know, time. You're starting your own business. Some huge change that's going to require you to shift, to pivot, not stop. And we'll talk about that a lot today, but just a shift. Yeah, we're going to talk about how to like do that gracefully, because hopefully after five going on six births and seven pregnancies, hopefully we can at least have a couple tips.
At least a little bit.
People handle this gracefully. Hopefully we'll handle it gracefully.
It's always a surprise.
We are in the second trimester now. I feel like the first trimester, this time around, nobody got to see much of it.
Well, I didn't get to see much of it. I was in bed most of the time.
Kay's first trimester is...
unpleasant.
Awful.
And I don't know if it's getting worse, but every time I'm pregnant, I feel like it's getting worse. Is it worse? It feels like it's
getting
worse.
We're getting older, so maybe just purely by the fact that, like...
there's more to do, maybe. So.
Our homestead is bigger. We're getting older.
We have more kids.
But we also have older kids, which I got a shout out to my older kids. The younger ones don't watch this show, so they won't know that they weren't shouted out.
Someday they will.
They make life
They're
harder.
Coming for you.
My older kids, they do a fantastic job of really, like, I was kind of Mr. Momming and Dadding it while you were dealing with the throes of nausea. And yeah, the older kids, like, helped with food, cooking, cleaning, doing so much in the barn.
Yeah.
They were great. So that's one area it's gotten easier, because now we have older kids. All the other areas, I think it's gotten a little harder.
I think so. Yeah. I feel like it has. Unless my memory is just totally flawed, and I don't remember it all the first trimester. I feel like every time it's getting worse.
Yeah. That could be, too. Part of getting older, losing the memory.
Worse for me, honestly, you're getting better every time. Oh. So.
Well, thank you.
Let's keep this thing going. You're cooking, cleaning. You like tackle things that you would never even consider before. I think you've gotten more confidence.
Yeah.
In kitchen stuff.
Yeah, I used to be afraid of the kitchen. I used to be afraid of cooking even things like eggs for breakfast. Now, I literally cook the family eggs every morning, whether or not you're pregnant. I've gotten a lot more confidence in certain areas that are very helpful when you are pregnant, and I cooked a lot more this time than I ever have.
Oh, yeah. I just want to say, Monique says she has a chronic illness, so going into a flare, she needs to pivot. So that's another example of something that comes up.
Yeah.
Something that you live with, I'm sure, most of the time, but then when you do get a flare-up, that you have to kind of change what you're doing. And that's what pregnancy feels like at certain stages. It feels like a sickness, and that's why they call it morning sickness, because you really do feel ill.
We wanted to throw this out early in today's show. Obviously, this, although we have lots of experience as far as being pregnant, being married to someone who's pregnant, homesteading at the same time, having newborn babies, we have lots of experience. It is obviously just our experience.
Right.
So we're going to talk today about things we've learned. We're going to get in the chat box people saying, I was never morning sick.
Yeah, or I was morning sick for 9 months.
Or
feel
the opposite.
Free.
Yeah.
Share your experience. Share what helped you.
Yeah, we'd love to hear in the chat box, and we'll definitely try to read a few at the end of the show. Little bits of advice, words of wisdom. Let us know what your pregnancies were like and things that helped you on your homestead. We have not been filming much of this first trimester. We kind of just...
Survived.
Fortunately, last time around, we documented the entire 9 months...
I was younger then.
9 months of homesteading while expecting. And so what we thought we would do for today's show, we're going to start by just reviewing all 1 hour of video and mystery science the whole time. No. Shout out to my mystery science theater fans. We have an abbreviated version, kind of like 9 months crammed into 10 minutes. We're going to go through it, the entire last pregnancy on this homestead. And then we'll dive into this topic and share some
insight.
Insight's better than wisdom. Wisdom, you're judging yourself to be helpful. And
right.
Insight
and
is purely...
Some might hear it and be like, that wasn't wise at all.
I mean, like the one...
Hold on, they sent me something else here.
Is that us?
What?
Yeah.
Oh man, I've been so tired and nauseous, and now I can just come out with this.
This week, I am 5.5 weeks, and at the beginning of the week, I was talking to Austin like, oh, I don't know, it's kind of funny, I don't have many symptoms, just a little sleepy, but the morning sickness hasn't started, and I was a little worried. Oh, I should have enjoyed that time because it's really started, and I feel really crummy and tired all of the time. At the end of the day, when I think about everything I have to do, I feel very overwhelmed. And last night was the first night I thought, like, oh, I don't know how I'll be able to do this. The cow, the house, you know, take care of everything while being pregnant. But this morning I feel better. So that's usually how I feel in the evening. I feel very sad, like I won't be able to do anything. But then after a good night's sleep, I feel better the next morning.
Tell us, where are we in the stream of things?
We are 9 weeks pregnant now.
9 weeks? This week? The baby is the size of a grape. I like to think of it more like a Sour Patch Kid. Not a big fan of grapes.
I feel pretty crappy all the time. Definitely have bad morning sickness in the first trimester. And so I haven't been on a video in like 2 weeks. Because I've been basically laying on the couch or in bed all day. So that stinks. Is it as bad as you remember it?
It's as bad as I remember it. I knew it would be. I think for the sake of procreating and filling the earth, somehow women at least Kay seems to forget what it's like. But I always have vivid memories of what the first trimester all the way through labor are like. And yes, this is exactly as I remember, but this time I was determined to be a really good husband and just be super supportive.
Any funny stories in retrospect?
Funny stories in retrospect? No.
Talk about puking. You don't want to talk about puking.
Yeah, puking's so funny in retrospect.
Second trimester. I'm sucking in my gut.
The baby's kicking. Boom, boom.
Grape.
We are out of the first trimester, 13 weeks.
And how do you feel about that?
Happy.
Just coming out of our first trimester. So I'm starting to feel like a human again. An alive human. I'm not so nauseous. I still get nauseous at night, in the evening, but it's not bad, it's bearable. As long as I'm in bed and Austin waits on my hand and foot, I can deal with it.
No, I feel really glad we're done with the first trimester.
Because this is my fifth baby, sixth pregnancy, my body knows what's going on, kind of just leans into that whole thing. So, I'm already starting to look very pregnant, which is why we kind of were like, well, we better do the announcement on the video because I can't zipper any of my overalls. So it's gonna be pretty obvious pretty soon when I'm waddling around that I'm pregnant. I'm hungry right now. I'm hungry all the time. And that means we have to go inside soon so I could eat. I swear this is my last one because I can't go through that again. You have that on record. I'm 17 weeks today and the baby is as long as a turnip. I feel like these vegetables and fruits leave a lot of room for interpretation, though, because turnips can be all sorts of sizes.
That's another thing. What the heck's a turnip?
Starving all the time. Then when I eat, I get heartburn and nausea. So it's kind of a vicious cycle we're dealing with here. But we're almost halfway there. That's nice to think of. Also very emotional. So pretty much anything makes me cry right now. Gender reveals. And you know what's gonna happen, like it'll be a boy or a girl, but still. Those balloons popping, man. Ugh, any like baby deer abandoned and return to its mother videos. Just, I can't watch anything anymore. Great British Baking Show.
I feel like we use a lot more of your tape in this one. I'm like, fine.
I'm
Things
fine.
Are totally good. Is she pregnant? Oh yeah, right?
For the most part, it's a very pleasant phase of my pregnancy. So I'm just kind of enjoying it right now. And I'm starting to feel the baby move, kicks in a couple weeks. Hopefully Austin can feel it, or the kids can feel it on the outside too.
Which is always such a nice part. Feeling that little baby move around inside me. It's pretty cool.
Pregnancy is such a, I mean, your body is surging with hormones, every day levels are changing. What bothers you one day doesn't the next. I mean, it keeps you on your toes. And I think I have just learned.
I think all the men who have had a pregnant wife are going, yes. I tried to do everything and she still yelled at me.
I want to make a coaching series, like a coach, like, okay, bro, your girl's pregnant, so just remember, it's your fault. Say you're sorry, get her whatever she wants, and get out of the way.
In my opinion, I've been doing pretty good so far. I've only thrown one thing once, and it wasn't at anybody.
I've only thrown one thing once. It's been a while.
It has been a while since we did a last pregnancy update. I don't remember how far along we were.
Second trimester.
Well, third trimester. So I'm at the point where every fruit they're comparing me to is a melon. Every type of melon you can imagine. Like, one week I'm cantaloupe and the next I'm honeydew. I don't know the size difference between the two, but apparently honeydew is bigger. I felt pretty good during the second trimester, could get around pretty good. And we also moved, so that took up a lot of time. Entering, or being in the third trimester, deep in the throes of the third trimester with four kids and a homestead. Now, everything homesteading's ramping up. There's grass to keep up with, there's fencing to do, there's all the animals that are needing to be switched around in their paddocks, so water's to be moved. It is starting to be challenging being so big. You can see I'm like out of breath a lot, so that's what everything kind of takes twice the effort. Walking up the hill, you rest halfway. I'm using the wheelbarrow more to move stuff around, the hay bales and everything when I take them to the cows. Just feeling more maxed physically. I don't feel bad. I don't feel nauseous. I don't have bad heartburn, but everything is just twice as hard. I'm using the kids to help me with a lot more of the work. I was mulching some beds and I needed my son to help me.
I'm feeling super overwhelmed right now because I have my regular work, I have some other projects going on, a couple side projects all at once that I'd like to be done with before the baby shows up. Because I know, after having four of these little wild cards, could be a good sleeper, might not be, could be up all night, could just mess up our entire routine. And when that baby shows up, I don't want to be having a lot of loose ends everywhere. I want to just have everything working as it should so that we can just, you know, adapt to what changes baby's gonna bring. Also, Kay has entered. You didn't talk at all about hormones.
I think my hormones have been great.
Your hormones have been great. I think her hormones have been great too. Kay has entered the third trimester. This is the trimester that I try to keep her away from other humans. I love my wife. She's pregnant. I know exactly what to expect after four kids. Not all the other people know what she's like in the third trimester, so I just try to keep her away from them.
I feel like very determined to just enjoy it. It's easy to, I'm very excited to meet this baby. Very excited to see what it is, and just have this little baby with us already. But I'm determined to just enjoy it. Just enjoy these last few weeks being pregnant. Just keep a baby. Just, you know, having this experience one last time. This will be our last one, so I'm really trying to savor it. Are you trying to savor it?
Yeah, it's hard to, but you gotta.
It is hard to. Yeah, because there's so much to do to keep you busy, especially with all the other kids and the farm and everything. Just to take those moments and think like, wow, this is awesome.
it's a boy.
Yay!
Oh, it's a boy. Good. Oh, there's a boy, Mom.
Just right here.
We got a boy. Yeah, oh, man.
Yes.
Yay.
Tell us. Tell us what that was.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. There we go.
Look at him sucking on my finger.
So cute.
He's here.
Hey.
It's a boy.
It's a boy.
Oh, yeah. I want to clap at the end of that one. That was great.
Feeling emotional still.
Oh, yeah. Woo! All right. Well, man, what a journey.
Yeah, for real. That last baby we had.
Uh-huh.
It was not the last one at all.
Yeah, right.
This is my, you know, you said never goats again, and that was your, like, comeuppance, never say never, and that is mine, I guess, never say never.
I was wondering, Jack commented in Jack's Mod for Us, Mindful Homestead, go check out Mindful Homestead. Jack said, gonna show Jackie this later today, considering another. And I was wondering, is he gonna show it to her as, like, convincing for another, or the opposite?
Warning.
Yeah. So thanks to our mods, Karen's modding today, Jack's modding today. Thank you guys so much for your work as mods. We really do appreciate it.
And we do have to say we're very, very excited about this new baby.
Yeah. Every single...
It may not be what 2 years ago we expected.
Yeah. Yeah. Every single baby... It's like we said, I think last week we said this in our video. It's what we do now. It's like we homestead, and we have our family, and we have babies. And sadly, someday that will stop. Yeah.
We've got, yeah, little ones to carry that torch, though. We can delegate it to others.
Someday.
So I'm telling you, that first trimester is awful.
Yeah, every time. And that's what was so funny, is you asked me in that video, like, is it like this every time? And that's what we want to talk about today. Kind of every time we see some patterns with each trimester, us personally, we've gone through, and maybe we can help some others, you know, along the way.
Somebody was just new as Forrester Farm, newly pregnant.
Ooh.
Congratulations.
And I saw...
Exciting.
Who was...
Anzie.
Yeah.
Anzie
expecting a sixth.
And
in a
few weeks,
twinsies.
Their sixth son. That's awesome. Congratulations. Yeah.
Very much. Oh, sixth son. Yeah.
Sixth son. Yep. She says, another little lad to catch the chickens for me.
That's the way to look at it. So,
little chicken catchers.
When we were first pregnant, we made what I consider like a noob mistake. We had our life at the time. We were not planning for this baby. We were not setting up the nursery. We were not buying the home with two, you know, with four bedrooms and two baths. And we had this life and this lifestyle that
we were
living.
He was our most unexpected child.
Absolutely. And when we found out, hey, we're having a baby, we thought, great, we're going to have a little sidekick come along and do what we do.
What did you call it earlier? You said...
A little sidekick.
No, yeah. But you said, something with a sidekick.
Same with sidekick.
Same with a sidekick.
Yeah, that's what I have on the outline here. Life would be the same with sidekick.
Same
right?
With like, a sidekick.
We are doing our thing and put like your motorcycle and you're driving down the Route 66 and you're doing your cool thing and you're stopping at diners, drive-ins, and dives, and then boop, put on
your
the sidecar
side
on your motorcycle and put the baby in the sidecar. And drive, off you go. And that's where everyone's like, no, don't put a baby in a sidecar. You need to get like a minivan with like a 5-star safety rating. And that's the point.
Yeah, your life has to change.
It's going to change. You can't just throw them in the sidecar.
It just has to change. It doesn't matter how much or how little you can get it to change, but it will change.
Yeah, some people it changes a lot more, some a lot less. But it is going to bring change. And with change comes pain and fear and
growth,
growing pains and transition.
And it's kind of cool because I think when you look at pregnancy, pregnancy is like a stage of pain and growth and transition, right? It's the first trimester, it's the second, and then it's the third with its own individual curveballs
changes.
But pregnancy kind of gradually changes you to get ready for the next step, that baby.
So what did they always say? The weather in Pennsylvania, if you don't like it, just hold on, it'll change. That's kind of like what pregnancy is. You don't like this phase, hold on a little bit, it'll change.
Yeah, absolutely. And kind of all leading up to that newborn, which is a whole nother stage. Some people call it the fourth trimester.
Very, very unpredictable. Our last pregnancy, felt like we've got this.
Oh, yeah.
We've done newborns 4 times. We know what to expect. And as most of you know, our fifth one threw us for a loop with...
Yeah. This is going to be our easy one.
Allergies.
We don't dare call this one the easy last one. We've already...
We have no expectations.
This is another child.
We're having a baby.
One of the things we were chatting while we were putting together outline, we noticed all of our hardest years of homesteading, are kind of our biggest failure years, were when we were newer homesteaders, younger homesteaders, and we had been pregnant or postpartum. That's when, the biggest mistakes...
Not even newer, because,
5 years, 6 years...
But 2 years ago.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, even right up until...
We weren't even newer homesteaders. It's just having a baby before or after. It changes so much in your personal life, whether you've been through it before or not, that things fall through the cracks.
Yeah.
And that's what happened.
Yeah, and so the homestead has suffered. And so going into this next one... We know, hey, the homestead has got to be trimmed back. We got to prune the homestead. And so we're going to look at these each trimester and kind of explain our process for adapting and changing. And that takes us right into the first trimester, the one we're fortunately done with.
Done. Oh, I was like, what are you washing your hands of there? Because it's over.
Yeah.
My first trimester is pretty awful. I get a couple weeks grace period after finding out I'm pregnant before the nausea and just sheer exhaustion sets in. And I know that's true for most women. Even if you don't experience nausea, there's still a lot of exhaustion. And it's hard to get things done.
That grace period, great time to really quickly blitz your life into a little bit better position to handle this.
Because... maybe you weren't expecting to be pregnant. Maybe you've been trying and are surprised when it finally happened. Or maybe you've been trying and you're like, finally, now's the time.
Oh,
those 2 weeks,
worked.
Like,
here we go.
Get your stuff in order real fast to survive the next 2 months.
And we, this year, our grace period included butchering
chickens.
60 chickens, moving animals out to pasture.
Yeah,
finishing up our big fencing and
pig farrowing.
That was right at the wire.
Yeah. Yes.
You knew, and then I knew too eventually. And we just got it done. And I remember chicken butcher day. I was really worried because we were counting. We actually didn't have any helpers this year.
Yeah, it just worked out. We didn't.
The first time we didn't ask, or invite others for
help. Was out of town.
Yeah, we kind of just took care of it ourselves, and we were banking on you and me being
most
of the day.
The two older kids.
We set it up where that would work at the place, and I was worried as we were getting closer, oh no, if that morning sickness kicks in,
then poor Austin.
It's going to be a chicken butcher week. But it didn't. It was right at the
no,
buzzer.
No, we really made it in time.
I think the next morning you woke up and you were like, oh...
Yes, because if there's one thing you don't want to smell when you're nauseous, it's butchering chickens.
Acknowledging, at this point, and we're not talking about just pregnancy, it's homesteading and pregnant. You have a lot to do. We're going to assume you got a bunch of chores and things to care for. As you're coming into the first trimester, what is your advice to the expectant mom, and if there's a couple there, as far as...
Let me see what I said.
What did you
I was like,
put on
I don't remember. What helps? I was thinking in the Forester Farm, any recommendations with morning sickness? Eat frequently.
Ooh, this is good. This is good.
It's
Let's
like nothing you haven't heard, I'll be honest. Try the C-bands. Try eating regularly. B6. Get your B vitamins. Some will do B6 with Unisom at night. It makes you tired the next day, but it helps with the nausea. Oh, man. I just slept a lot. I slept. And it was just, you know, you're starting at that beginning. 6 weeks, say it sets in, and you're like, okay, 12 weeks. That's 6 more weeks from now. That's an eternity, 42 days. And every day you're just counting down the hours until it's over. And I hate the first trimester. I'm very grateful to be pregnant. Very thankful for all my children. But it is really hard.
Yeah.
How are that for some terrible tips? So that was super encouraging. But you'll get past it, I promise.
Some people it does take longer to get past. We've heard horror stories, but like being nauseous for 9 months does not sound really nice. And some people, so, but hopefully that doesn't happen.
We're super encouraging.
I know,
right,
this
now
is bad. All right, anyway, let's
it's
shift.
It's hard,
ready?
Yeah.
Acknowledging.
So what else did I say? Oh, you, acknowledging.
Yeah. This is what you said. I don't want to give too much advice. Like, I'm just the husband supporting. Like, I don't want to be like,
you don't want to be the one saying, so, you can't do everything.
Let me tell you my experience as an expert.
My tip is you can't do everything. You can't. So this is my scenario. Say you're homeschooling your kids and you have a farm. You've got a house to clean. You've got all these things you have to do, and something's gonna slip through the cracks. And just manage it as best as you can. So is your homeschooling going to be, hey, pick out your favorite history video on YouTube and let's watch it and talk about it while I take a nap? Maybe. That's okay. Is dinner going to be Costco pizza again?
Oh,
yum.
Man.
Delicious.
We
love Costco pizza. Yeah, for 6 weeks, maybe it will be. They love that idea. It's temporary. It's just temporary. And it's okay. Buy your paper plates. And I bought paper towels. And that's one thing I don't usually buy because, you know, kids and paper towels. We bought paper towels. So I didn't have to do the laundry as much. The laundry stayed in baskets. The house was a disaster.
And that was with me.
As good as you did.
Trying to carry extra, but
It was just a time to say this is temporary and it won't be like this. And I'm telling you, when I hit like feeling better 13, 14 weeks, I was like, all right, kids, we're cleaning.
Love the DAC.
Get out the mop.
A big thing to take advantage of. If you got people, you can ask for help. I could not wait to tell your mom that we were pregnant, because the minute she knew, I could then say, would you mind cooking a little bit? Because I took over the cooking.
Yeah, and that was for him to have her plan one meal a week or whatever she could do was wonderful.
Yeah, because normally you cook all our meals except for breakfast. I do breakfasts, you do lunches and dinners.
Plus there was the advantage of I didn't have to smell the food cooking. So
that was nice.
It was easier to eat.
And I'm not good in the kitchen, but I've gotten better, especially with this experience. I've gotten more.
Yeah.
I can now, if you tell me with enough warning.
And you can follow a recipe.
Yeah, like you gotta, you know, cook. I cannot freak out anymore and actually make something that's edible. But it was so nice to have that, because I'm still carrying on my plate, I'm still running, you know, the stuff I do on the homestead, you know, the business and all this other stuff, to have the help, to be able to ask your mom, hey, would you be able to help out with a meal, you know, just different ones. If you have people, you can ask for help, whether it's help on the homestead, right? Hey, you know what? I'm not feeling good, and normally I have to clean the barn once a week, but I just can't deal with that smell. Or, you know, whether that's just your partner, your mate, or a friend, family member who can help you out. Not being afraid to ask for help.
Yeah.
That's a big one, because acknowledging.
Delegate. Yeah, Dakota mentioned write a list of things that need done. And what a good idea to do for barn stuff.
Absolutely.
If your mate maybe isn't used to taking care of the barn or doing what you do, write a list detailing where you keep things, the amounts of everything, what animal gets what.
Yeah, we talked about that in the episode we just did about going away from the homestead, having a good play-by-play. Very good thing to have. And with YouTube nowadays, we talked about the idea of making short little videos and putting a playlist together. It's a private one. It doesn't have to be on the internet, you know, or open to the internet. My farm, how to do the chores. Here, watch this playlist. Follow along.
Yeah.
Great way to just show everything people need to know to take care of you, to help you through this period of time. It is a period of time where it's nice to have a little bit of help.
Yeah. Specifically for me, there was a time of day where I felt good. or better, and a time of the day where I felt awful. So for me, morning time was best. That would be the time for me to get outside, get some fresh air, get my animal chores done, if I could, because it always makes me feel better if I can get out. And then come in and from noon on, just kind of crash in bed.
Yeah.
And at least I could be out for some of the day.
Depending on how much you can plan, there are people out there who successfully plan a pregnancy. Planning the first trimester and other events, we did not want a cowbirth.
No, this one was very fortunately planned because we don't have anybody in milk.
Yep.
The most we had were the pigs, but they kind of were fine. They didn't need much help from us.
Yeah.
Yeah, no cow births, no milking, no camel births, no camel milking.
It's coming. It's going to be fun. But yeah, just acknowledging. And then I think your bright spot of hope for most people out there is...
it's temporary.
Yeah.
This will pass. Even if you are going in the second trimester, maybe even third trimester, after the baby's born, it'll pass.
Fortunately for you.
Yeah, once I'm a few weeks out of my first trimester, I start feeling better.
Yeah.
Still bouts of nausea, I'll be honest. Like, still throwing up sometimes, but it's better than it was. I'm in bed early every night, and he kind of takes over.
We had a movie night last night.
A snoozing night.
We had a movie night, and we put the movie on.
And we started it
early. I fell asleep in like 10 minutes, and I woke up and you were gone.
I was in bed. I was so tired. I went back to bed. And our kids got to watch a movie, so I think they liked that.
They enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Moving into the second trimester, I feel like, honestly, when you look at the pattern that, again, it's most, maybe not all, but probably most pregnancies follow this pattern. The first trimester is really hard. The second one, you get this chance to like, almost take care of what you couldn't before.
Yes.
For you, the second trimester is a really great one.
And it's specifically, I feel like, for the homestead and the farm. I'm not driven to do like any nesting per se in the house, but while I have the energy, while I'm not really big, while I can get around, now's the time for me to look at the barn, look at the animals and say, okay, how do I make this be as easy as possible for the future?
Yeah, and I like what we have here. This is a great slogan for the second trimester homesteader. Prep, fix, sell, and butcher.
We said, make hay while the sun shines.
Yeah, that's a nice way of saying it.
This is, you feel good, but this too is temporary.
Super
foreboding.
Wait, it'd be the most ominous...
foreboding pregnancy video ever. Because... I get to the point where I'm big and uncomfortable and my back hurts. And I remember one year I did too much in the barn. And for a week after that, I couldn't move. I was stuck on the couch. You remember that?
Yeah, and you don't want to do that.
No. Like, do it all when you're smaller.
There's a good slogan. Now, do it all when you're small.
Now, so happy. I'm an older woman now, and this is, my time is dwindling because I drove my car this week and I can't move today, so.
From driving. Whatever you need.
I did too much. I drove a car.
And obviously this is a message to, if you have a partner, if it is a couple that we're talking to here, certain things like, fixing up things, maybe you're not in a position as the pregnant one to go and fix that leaky roof that your barn has. But as a team, or again, asking for the help of a friend or a family member, even if you have to hire it out, this is the time. We got our fencing finished, actually, in the first trimester, fortunately. But now's the time. We're having a watering issue right now. We're still dealing with. And I was on the phone with my dad. You guys know, whenever it's time for like a DIY at the homestead, I call my pops up and get him over here.
Grampy Joe.
Hey, get up here. When can I get you up here to help me with this watering issue? Because I need this. I need it to work not just for me. I need it to work for the kids.
Yeah, well, I hate to break your bubble, but it's not going to work in the winter, so.
That's true. But don't forget, we'll have a newborn baby in the spring next year, and we'll need that watering system.
Not really, but
No, it'll oh, be good to have. It'll be newborn. Good to have. No, it's not newborn at the end of the spring.
Oh, so sad.
Baby's already grown.
Off he goes. He's out of
college
job.
Student in the spring.
Next June, he's driving away.
The last one. They grow so fast.
They grow up so fast. They really do.
I was able to, in my second trimester last pregnancy, help with hay, putting hay in the hayloft. I felt good enough to be able to do it.
You already told me this one. Get help.
I will not get be help. Doing it this time. I can't. Yeah. So yeah, get help.
This is very similar. We talked about this in our last episode about when you're away from the homestead, you want time and you want volume, right? You want to have a lot of water that'll last your animals a long time. This same rule applies. If before you got pregnant, your chicken waterers were empty at the end of every day, and your chicken feeders were empty at the end of every day, this is the time to start transitioning to having enough water in a waterer that if you suddenly are off to the hospital, because heaven forbid, you know, this is pregnancy and there are complications, even though you're not yet in your third trimester, you can find yourself in the hospital for something not even really, really bad, but something that like, you know, you threw your back out driving the car. And
I mean, we're talking second trimester here. It's time to get all the ducks in a row on the homestead.
Yeah. So at this point, make sure your chickens have water. If you were to suddenly leave them 24 hours later, usually within 24 hours, the emergency's passed. If you're stuck in the hospital, you make a few phone calls, you find the friend to come and fill your waterers, but you're not going to be able to care for that in those first few hours of emergency.
Right.
If your pig water is dried up and you're not home and no one's there to refill it, you have a problem. So make sure. Time, volume, build it into your system.
Prep, fix, sell, butcher.
That's another one, selling and butchering, right?
Yeah. Selling and butchering. These are the decisions we're making now.
We are in the throes of this right now.
Yeah. Now's the time we start talking about, first of all, do we have room for all these animals coming into the winter? Because at 9 months pregnant, I can't be walking out in an ice storm to move animals around. Who needs shelter? Who got out? What's broken? I won't be able to help you.
Right.
Will you be able to handle everything we have on your own? And like, again, we're a second trimester. We're just getting into it, but
now's the time.
Now's the time to start thinking about it.
Yeah, now's the time where you feel good and we can make these changes.
And specifically thinking about, for us, it's in the middle of winter. We're having a baby. What are the complications there? Will I be able to walk in 2 feet of snow? Will I be able to help shovel a paddock out or clean a stall? No.
And of course, everyone's saying like, well, Austin, you can pick up the slack, Austin and the kids. And that is true. There are areas I can definitely pick up some slack. I love, you know, our cows. You know, if I need to pick up some slack, if I need to, which we already talked about, I'm going to have to do the training for the milking. I don't want to. I wasn't planning on it.
Everybody wants to see this, though. But so, fortunately, it's all working out.
Homesteady playlist ever.
Fantastic. Austin milks a cow.
This should just be live streamed every morning, honestly.
This is a great thing for you to do.
Sensor.
Because Austin doesn't mind videotaping his life.
This is where you finally get your comeuppance.
And I do. So if I'm focused on something new, I don't like to worry about filming at the same time. It's too much for me to work with. But Austin doesn't mind. Or so you've said.
We'll see.
So you'll get to see it all.
It's going to be very interesting. So there are things I am more than happy to pick up the slack and you know, jump in. But again, all of us have a limited plate.
And it's just some things it's impossible to handle by yourself. There are some things that, and especially setups we have, multiple animals and paddocks that we tried to do it the other day, just moving and taking halters off and it was just, for you to do by yourself was impossible.
Right. So it will shift, and this is what happened in the first trimester. Instead of you and me being the primary two homesteaders taking care of the place, it'd be me and our older kids.
Right.
Which, they're incredibly capable. They're incredibly hard workers. They do a fantastic job. But we're at the point now where we actually have a lot of large animals that you might, well, definitely are considered dangerous.
Yes.
We have a bull camel. And although Millie, our female, is not dangerous in the fact that she doesn't, you know, she's not aggressive, she's older, she's calmer, she's gentler. We were working with him yesterday.
And it's when the two of them get together, and people with experience with large animals, horses, cows, know that when they're together, a group of them, how dangerous they can be. Even if it's not aggressive towards a human, it's pushing each other, just vying in that pecking order. And
to
that's
them,
what it was.
A kick and a nip.
Right.
To them, it's like
way
it's
too
a
close
too
to my
gestury,
face.
That Italian in me. a kick or a nip to them, they're like tanks. They can wail on each other. But a kick or a nip to one of us,
or,
who's in the group.
Yeah, heaven forbid one of the kids.
Knocks them out. Well, the kids are never in with them.
Right.
So this is the point is, if me and the older ones are going to be out there more together without you, it needs to be a safer area. There needs to be less potential danger. So we are looking hard now at our homestead, and we are applying, kind of looking through the lens of the 80-20 rule.
Yes, dear. This is where we channel our inner accountant, Mike, that we all have, but for some of us, it's hidden much more deeply. That's me. Where, for me, emotionally is how so many of my decisions are made on the farm, but I need to be very practical about the decisions we're making and just say, is this going to be worth it? Is this possible? Will I be able to give this animal the best care given our current and future situation? So thinking about our IPP boar, our IPPs and our coonies, like, do we carry all those over the winter? That's a lot. All these pigs over winter, different shelters, different paddocks, water, food.
The 80-20 rule basically says that 80% of your output.
Checking it,
make sure I quote it right. Comes from 20% of your input. So although we're putting 100% of ourselves into this homestead, only a section of what we're doing, a little small section, is yielding the best results, whereas all this other time we're spending is yielding much less. And so we're trying to identify now, what's the thing that takes the least and gives the most? Keep that. And that's why I mentioned the cows before. The cows are...
Spoiler alert, we should do a whole video on this because... Man, I could have used this 5 years ago with our homestead.
80-20?
Yes.
That'd be great. We should actually do totally a whole video, especially as we make these changes. Cows, they're the easiest to feed. They are the easiest to fence. They are the easiest to work with. They are a dream. They produce tons of milk. They produce tons of meat. They produce a high-quality product. They're a dream, and they're everybody's favorite on the channel.
He's a converted cowboy. He's a convert.
That is a great shirt, converted cowboy. That actually, I think, will be made. I love that. Yeah, I love the cows, and they were the animal and the kids are going thumbs down because they're
not the
best.
Best.
Yeah, they want their animals promoted. Not going to happen, goat lover. the cows are the 20% that gives us the 80, for sure. The pigs are like 70% of the work for me right now.
For you right now, yeah, for sure.
Huge amount of work. Good yield. I wouldn't give them only 20, but they definitely are not, you know.
It all depends where we want our homestead to go.
Yeah, so
it's
right
away. It's hard to focus on so many things at once.
We've already decided pigs are being downsized, and that literally happened this morning.
We actually sold some piglets.
This was so cool.
This is our first time in 9-10 years of homesteading where we've bred an animal and we actually made some money off of it.
Yeah,
happy
this was
day.
A big moment. So
there have been chickens and some goat kids, but this actually was like, this was a big win for us.
Oh, yeah.
Because it wasn't like, all right, the goats died and we can't do them right now. It was like,
let's
hey, we've
animals.
Got piglets. Let's sell our piglets.
Colin and Amy came by today, Half-Baked Homestead. They have, if you go to Facebook and search Half-Baked Homestead, and maybe one of our mods can put that in the chat box. They have a homestead and they're like, rip-roaring.
They've got their pigs, they're getting goats, they've got their chickens. Yeah. They do bees, so they gave us some nice
Their
honey.
Their honey is awesome.
Yeah, it's really unusual.
I actually thought I should keep like a little honey in here because if my throat's going a
which
little
Which is
spoonful
right now.
Of,
huh?
Which it was. It was bugging me like right now. But yeah, so they came and got some pics from us. They were super, super cool. And we were talking homesteading and animals. And
so that's, I guess that's the beginning of our kind of...
This is the beginning
downsize,
of the trimming.
Downsize.
Now, we've definitely decided we're downsizing pigs. We're really even pretty much sure we're going to pick one of the breeds and continue. We have IPPs and Coonies right now. We will not continue with two breeds. Because two breeds, especially if you want to sell pure bred, means not only twice as many paddocks, but if you got to keep the boars and the sows separate... It's like so many, you know, three paddocks at least.
And one
girls,
of our boars just decided to like learn to jump over the water through the fencing. So
yeah,
it's
so
like,
he's not going to be able to be contained. And honestly, the IPP boar that we have, and this is not all IPPs. We like IPPs. But yeah, he's just one. He's bigger than what we want to handle.
I mean, that's what you're going with an IPP is going to be bigger than a Coonie. So we have to decide if we're going... for the larger size pig, or for right now, if we want to stay smaller.
Yeah, the Coonie
so
boar.
So more pork, or less pork.
Yeah, yeah. The Coonie boar we have, he's a little bit smaller.
Yeah,
and
for
we
sure.
really like him. He's like a little. He's a teddy bear. So we should have named him
Teddy Bear.
So it we're definitely going to be more pig downsizing. And if you do want to buy some Coonie,
we have a few piglets left.
We have a couple left. There's a few left. So if you're interested, let us know. Austin@homestudio.com. Email me. So,
cow. This is Austin's.
What?
Cows are safe, but maybe not all of them.
Oh, yeah.
Dot, dot, dot.
As in, like, the cows are sticking around, but, you know.
I mean, we're having calves.
We're going to have calves, so it's pretty sure we're not going to keep.
We do keep the calves on, though, because that will help us through our milking season when I have the baby. Austin won't have to keep milking. The calves should be able to keep up with their mama's milk.
Yeah, yeah.
We do have something on here about camels. Camels. They're always like, camels. Always our unknown camels. They're our wild card, I'd say.
As far as downsizing goes?
Mm-hmm.
We go back and forth on the camels a lot. Because now we know, having developed further along with our baby and his allergies.
I know, and that's another show to do.
Yeah, so we won't go into this much, but basically we actually just found out that he's okay with
cow milk.
So, this is a decision we're trying to make.
Not emotionally, practically, but there are still emotions involved.
Always. We really like our camels.
Always with Austin and I.
They are so cool to have on the homestead. And we are going to do some update videos just because we haven't seen them in a while. But whether or not they're one of the animals we decide to...
Downsize
on the homestead.
Still remains to be seen.
Yeah, we got to do that. Accountant Mike, hard, take a hard look. We do know, again, trying to make the homestead less dangers. Solomon is a danger. Now he's less because he's been cut, but he's just so big. So... Yeah.
He's so big and so, Sully. He's so like...
A teenager.
Yes, so lovable. Like today he was so lovable.
Oh, yeah.
And then you're like, oh, Sully. And then sometimes he's just such a jerk.
Yeah, he can be he's a teenager. He can be so lovable
you're
and
like,
then he can
come
be a
on,
bughead.
You know how to do this. Just do it.
Yeah, so.
So it's a time investment.
You've been a lot involved with the camels. You've been like... You know, there's some animals that are mostly me, pigs. Some mostly you,
cows.
Camels.
That's our joint
we've
endeavor.
We've been really joint on camels. And losing you you can't be near him now. We were working the other day and he was getting funky.
I don't mind Millie.
And,
like, she's, right. She's like bomb-proof,
right.
Millie.
But Sully gets a little nuts about stuff. And we were working the other day and I told you, get out of the paddock because he's starting to kick and be goofy and stupid.
He's a baby.
And, you know, we're both good with large livestock now. But again, with you being pregnant, there's that much more safety worry.
Yeah, it's just not worth the risk.
So that's another one. That's another one that we're kind of looking at hard and trying to decide what are we going to do.
And Geocache is watching for the camels. So... You're not saying there's any decision made yet.
Yeah.
Just something we're thinking seriously about.
Yeah.
Not an easy decision either way.
No, definitely not. Never is. Never is. But we do know now it's necessary. Yeah. So.
Now so third trimester.
Yeah. Third trimester. Get your ducks in a row because time's ticking. The hair's getting bigger with every trimester.
The hair's getting bigger the closer we get.
Yeah. Every day things are getting harder.
Yes. Yep. Every day. I could say that right now. Not in the third trimester yet. But every day things get harder. I get bigger, slower, hungrier.
It sounds like what I'm going through too. The fact is, at this point, you do have to really treat like every moment like you could be off to the hospital.
Every moment is your last.
You know, like you got to be ready. Fill the waterers, fill the feeders, keep them topped off.
Keep everything unfrozen. We're talking about winter.
You know, button up all the stuff. Because now you're just really...
Yeah.
And you described yourself in the video as you don't feel nauseous anymore. But
everything's harder. Everything's twice harder. As hard, yeah.
I really feel at that point you should have already transitioned.
That's our goal for the second trimester is to already transition.
Yeah, for us right now, we're trying to make these decisions and then make the moves and be done. So by the third, we can coast into newborn baby.
Mm-hmm. And enjoy as much as you can that third trimester. So just be cozy inside, moving stuff around, folding clothes, getting ready.
Oh, Michael, Pumpkin Patch, another super chat. Thank you so much. The kids are, they're jumping up. He says, I'm young, yet I'm getting nervous even watching.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. So, and do you really have a pumpkin patch? That's super cool.
You're getting big. Now, he has that in capitals.
Yes.
You're getting big. Exclam.
This is what I consider a public service announcement to the commenters on the channel, as well as our friends and family. That little bit I had there about how in the third trimester I try to
keep me away from people.
Because
I bring so much joy to their hearts that they can't even stand it.
That's one reason. I wouldn't want anyone to have a heart attack from joy. People say stupid things to pregnant women. And that's the name of our next segment.
People say stupid stuff to pregnant
Let's
women?
Let's see. Stupid things people say to my pregnant wife, Kay. You've been warned. And now it's time to play everyone's favorite game. Guess what stupid things people say to my pregnant wife, Kay. You guess whether or not one of these things has actually been said to my pregnant wife. Guess them all correct and you win. Wow, you're getting huge. Yep, that one was said. You must be having a girl because she's stealing all your beauty. Yes, that too was said to Kay. Oh gee, you look swell. Literally. Mm-hmm, that one too. All these have been stupid things people say to my pregnant wife, Kay. There are certain people that say things that we just know, like people we associate with on a regular basis, and they're known for saying just dumb things.
No matter where we've been.
In case you're one of these people who says dumb things to a pregnant woman.
In case
for example,
you are.
Wow, you look huge.
Oh yeah.
You don't look big enough. Don't talk about her size.
No.
Don't, you
there's
don't.
No safe way to say
just
it.
Just say, wow, you look great.
And we may have said this in another video already,
probably.
But just get this in your brain. And I have to do the same thing, because, I don't know, you see a pregnant person, it's like, wow.
Wow.
Wow, my foot's about to go in my mouth.
Bones, everyone's favorite dog, reminding you not to say stupid things to pregnant women.
Bobo. Such good advice.
Oh, he's a sage, that Bones.
I gotta give shout out to Countin' Mike's wife, because he said something to me about how big I was, and she was like, Michael, you don't say that.
The 1911 is one of the most iconic firearms in history. Designed by John Browning, the 1911 was the standard issue sidearm of the U.S. military from 1911 to 1985. While Colt produced the original, almost every major firearm company has produced its own version. It's wildly revered for its reliability, crisp trigger, and is still a favorite for all types of shooters. Whether you're looking to buy or build a 1911 and just about everything for guns, log on to MidwayUSA.com. Knives, machetes, saws, and shears, multi-tools, shovels, swords, axes, spears, hatchets, and tomahawks. If it cuts, snips, slices, or chops, Midway USA has it. Find great gift ideas in our huge selection of pocket knives and other everyday carry folding knives. Make a statement or create a family legacy with one of our top-of-the-line hunting knives. We've got a great selection of manual and electric sharpeners, too. For just about everything for the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
Oh, man. People do say stupid things. So don't say stupid things.
I don't know. I do it. I don't know why it happens to pregnant women. It's just like I trip up. I'm like so amazed by it. It's like, wow.
So I find this one interesting. Wow, you're huge.
Yeah, don't say that.
Don't say that. But then the wow, you don't look big enough. This is one at first I never would have thought to be like.
It's not a compliment.
Yeah. Why don't you like that?
Well, then you feel like, well, what's wrong? Is there something wrong with me? Something wrong with the baby?
Right. So, yeah, just avoid the weight thing.
You look amazing.
Who would say, I was trying to think, was it my Grampy who would say that when he would see you? Hey, you look
great.
Wouldn't he, right? My Grampy, whenever he would see her, he'd go, he had a couple kids, he knew.
Yeah.
Wow, you look great.
You look great.
Yeah. And then when he'd see the babies, they look
brand
movie
new,
star.
Right? Brand new little squishy red little babies. Oh, he's a movie star.
Look at that kid. He's a movie star. Yep, so, my Grampy. Two babies now, he won't see. It's a little sad, but anyway.
Coon and Jane, they know what to say. The most beautiful pregnant women I've ever seen. Thank you, Jane.
Special shout out to our good friends Coon and Jane watching this morning. At this point, I think really remember, enjoy it. After we've gone through this bullet list of get
about
everything
about how awful
done
everything is. Enjoy the nice times the best you can.
Yeah, this is something to be enjoyed, cherished, you know. It's a special time. It does go by really quick. I can't believe the first trimester is already done. I'm okay with that.
Yay.
Now
we, like, our oldest, our unexpected start to this whole thing is, like, 11.
Yeah. Yep. So, yeah, it does really go by fast. And, you know, if it means, you know, we talk about this a lot with the homestead. There are times where you have to prune back, right? We talked today about prune, get rid of some animals, downsize, simplify, prune. And you might feel like, oh, man, my homestead is shrinking now. But a healthy apple tree is one that is pruned often. And in a 10-year period, if you look at an apple tree that's never pruned, and the one that is, the prune tree in 10 years' time will be more productive than the apple tree just left to go wild. So if you have to say, you know what, this baby is more important than my pigs, this baby's more important than my camels, than my, you know, sheep, whatever it is, it gets priority, prune. In 11 years, that baby has its own chickens.
Right, or its own goats.
And now you're getting more chicken eggs and more goat milk, soap, and fudge, like I was promised. And
it's your biggest year yet on the homestead.
Yeah, because you pruned, now you're more productive. So that's kind of, you know, we're going to prune a little this year, but we're going to be more productive in 3 years than we've ever been.
I laughed, Richard. Talking about our third trimester, the last two of seven, no one was safe. It was very unpleasant. I'm gonna have a shirt that says that. No one is safe. Very unpleasant. Very unpleasant. Because it's hard. Really hard. No one is safe. That will be me. Very unpleasant.
Man. Well, thank you all. This was a really special one because it's a topic that's really, obviously dear to our hearts. But I thought it was really special to see how many people here have been through it, or are right now expecting. It's like this camaraderie. I love doing the live show because there's so many people here, familiar faces. It's a fun event together to see so many other moms out there that are like getting close at the beginning. You know, just beginning this journey.
And I like that in the comments too of our video, our reveal video, how many people said, oh, we're on our sixth. Oh, we had 12. There's just this love of children. in the community like this. And it's so nice to see.
And I don't know, it's a special day. We have like 132 thumbs up. We could maybe get it to 200. This would be a record. So right at the buzzer here, let's see if we can get like, that's a lot to ask, but it's a special, everyone's excited. There's a lot of thumbs up for this video today. So thank you to all our mods who were very busy as always modding it up. And we thank you all so much for joining us. Thank you to Michael's Pumpkin Patch for the super chats. We always, as we say, split those with the crew back there. They're all happy.
Ah, nicely split. Split, we said.
Dakota said, I like this. If you're on bed rest, become a Homesteady Pioneer so you can enjoy that amazing Pioneer library while you're on bed rest.
And all those fun videos we'll have in the Library of Austin. Kicking over milk buckets.
There'd be a few
screaming.
More pioneers if I kept the grass up
stuff.
For training for pioneers only. The Pioneer Library is all really our more educational stuff. It's the more in-depth interviews, the more in-depth. We're actually going to be doing, I'm right now planning another field trip for the Pioneer Library. We're going to a farmer, Eli is his name. He's a guy with a full-time job.
If you'll remember our little Scottish Highland Bull.
Yes.
That was from Eli's fold.
He's got a full-time job, and yet this guy is running beef,
chickens.
Sheep, chickens, pigs, rotationally grazing them, every day moving them.
With a full-time
with
job.
With a full-time job. So I was like, when I saw him on Instagram, what is he on Instagram? If you want to go follow him, it's Mac Farm. You find that. Watch what this guy does every single day. When I watched him every day do this, I was like, how is he doing all this? And I got to get on video because I know our Homesteady Pioneers and everyone on YouTube will want to see this too. So we'll have a YouTube version as well.
Yeah, he's Mac Farms.
Mac Farms on Instagram.
M-A-C-K Farms.
He's got 1,500 followers, so he's doing real good there. We're planning right now to do a field trip. And the way we do it with the Pioneer Library, we go on a field trip. We do like a big 1 hour lesson video where they kind of teach us like what they're doing, how it's working. And of course we have a YouTube version which comes out, everyone can enjoy. We like to share that with the YouTube audience. But if you want the in-depth homesteading stuff, that's what Dakota's talking about, the Pioneer Library. So I'm planning that field trip soon. That'll be in the Pioneer Library not too long. I can't wait to see what Eli's
how he
doing.
Does it.
And we did get another super chat. Brenna?
Brenna Harris.
Thank you so much, Brenna. We really, really appreciate the support. So,
this was a long one.
This was a great one. This is one I like always remember. This was so fun to like go back over and see
back
all
in
that
time.
Pregnancy stuff. And this is a major part of like our journey is having babies and
keep it calm.
Keep it,
I can't
don't
get
emotional.
Stop.
Pop those balloons.
Stop. Pop those balloons.
Stop. Baby deer. Thank you all for joining for this really special episode, and we'll see you next week.
Baby deer.
Baby deer. Oh, it's so cute.
I don't even know what to do.
Hey everyone, Will Cooper here, host of Hunt Stand's Make Your Mark podcast. Join us as we dive deep into the world of hunting and outdoor pursuits. We've brought together some of the most accomplished individuals in the industry to share their invaluable insights and experiences with you. But here's the kicker. It's not just about hunting tips and tactics. We're exploring how you can carve your own path, elevate your skills, and gain some wisdom from the best in the field. So whether you're a seasoned hunter looking to fine-tune your skills or a newbie eager to learn, our podcast has something for everyone. Stay tuned for more exciting guests and hotter topics. Don't miss out and subscribe to Hunt Stand's Make Your Mark podcast today and start making your mark in the great outdoors.